And sometimes we get together, we sing these the words of these songs, and there's stuff that just resonates with me as I'm standing there, and it isn't part of the message. I'm Aaron Winiwski, by the way, the pastor here, and I just like I want to like get back to it and go, wait, what were you just singing? I want to key in on that. I don't know about you guys, I felt really challenged as I was singing these words today. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Really? I mean, we're singing that wherever he would call you. And this is a reference to Jesus walking on water and Peter saying, well, if it's really you, Lord, then I should be able to do that too. I mean, he was a disciple, and the disciples do what their rabbi, what the teacher who they're following, they do what the teacher does. So if Jesus is walking on water, then why wouldn't I have the faith that I could do the same? Would we be willing to go wherever God would call us? And I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've taken steps of faith, even recently, opening your home to a foster child, for instance. Maybe quitting a job and not knowing what was going to be next, but trusting God. It's particularly challenging to me because I've got a friend here today. We're going to hear from Kurt and Carrie later. Some of you were here a few weeks ago, and when they were talking about their trying to raise financial support to go to Nigeria. Well, I hope this isn't a big spoiler alert, but you've been invited back to Nigeria, and what in talking with them this morning, what they told me was that they want Kurt to train between 7 and 15,000 pastors? Between 7 and 15,000 pastors and leaders in Nigeria. Yeah, they've invited him back in January to do this training. What a range, too. How do they manage that? Like, okay, the first conference is between 5 and 10,000, and then there are a couple after that. Here's what's really challenging to me about reading these words about God's grace being enough, and let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me, and I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned. I'll stand, my Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. I haven't told Michelle this, but Kurt a few weeks ago said, why don't you come back with me to Nigeria? I haven't talked to you about that, Michelle, because my first thought is, go ahead. We'll give you money again. It'll be great. These are challenging words that we sing here. Because the life of a disciple, the life of someone who is saved by Christ, the life of someone who shares in communion like we're doing today, it isn't about, I like to come to Sunday morning service because I feel better about my life and myself, and I like what God has to do with what my plans are, as if having the title Christian is like purchasing an insurance policy. You know, I want to make sure that the cost is in the right range that I can afford, but I want to make sure the benefits are there too, and because it's about my life. No, no, no. It isn't. It's about God and His glory. And those of us who have taken steps of faith, even though it doesn't get easy, we can see how God has been at work. We can be a witness to what He has done and say, He is a God who has done miracles. And if you haven't experienced a miracle in your own life, read Scripture and you'll see miracle after miracle. He is a God who does miracles, and it's about Him. It's about His glory. My life isn't my own. Okay, so that was all not part of the message. So I'm going to consolidate, and I know, Marcy, you're going to do whatever, follow along, and I'll give you cues. And Marcy's on our computer today, and so she'll put up the stuff. What I wanted to tell you about this morning is a walk that I took in my own neighborhood. I live on the north side of Cronenwetter. It's almost in Rothschild. And I took a walk down Kowalski Road. If you're familiar at all with the area, Kowalski goes past this dog park, and Friendship Park is on the east side of town there, just south of West and just south of like where the YMCA is. So I'm taking a walk, and I see a place that I've seen before, but it means something different to me now that we've sold our church office. If you're new to New Day, we had a piece of property that we operated as an office, and we sold it because we wanted to be ready for a longer term home for that God would have in store for us. So this means something different to me because it's empty lots, and there are signs that say, you know, it's available. So I'm a little bit more tuned into that at this point in the church's life. So I'm looking and I'm walking and I'm imagining what would an office and ministry center look like? Where would we put it? What would we do there? Would people from the community come around and get involved in things that we would do in this space? Would this be a space that would help us have the capacity to multiply disciples and to multiply congregations? That was on Friday. And then on Monday, I got a text, and I had mentioned Pastor Lori from Living Well in my message last weekend. So this is Friday, and then the weekend message. And then on Monday, Pastor Lori, who doesn't know that I was talking about her during the message on Sunday, texts me, and she says, "I was on Highway J, and I saw some land for sale, and I thought of you guys. I'm not sure if it would be a good fit, but I'm praying for you." And then she follows it up with this text. I will say that when I pray for you, Kowalski pops into my brain. Well, I didn't tell anybody that I took a walk on Kowalski Road. I didn't tell anybody that I was kind of picturing and imagining and dreaming what an office and ministry center would look like. So she says, Kowalski pops into my brain. So I've got to go, so what do you do with that? Like, is that from God? Is it coincidence? I don't know. I am not a guy who's going to jump on that and go, well, we better start making phone calls. I'm more like, maybe we should pray about this. So what do I do about it? I decided I'm going to share it with you guys. What we're talking about in this series is power from God, unbreakable power displayed in and through broken people. And one of the ways God displays His power is through spiritual gifts. And the spiritual gifts that we're talking about today, and I've got to, I got to be somewhat brief here. So we're going to touch on them. Spiritual gifts we're talking about today are knowledge, discernment, and wisdom. Knowledge is a piece of information. So I've got to go, does Pastor Lori have a piece of information here that's from God? It seems odd that it would be a coincidence. I'm not sure, though. Someone with the gift of discernment is someone who can answer the question, once there's a piece of information, where did this information come from? Someone with the gift of discernment can sort out whether or not something comes from God or it comes from somewhere else. Discernment answers the question, where did this come from? Wisdom then answers the question, where will this lead us? Wisdom is about application. It's about putting into practice what we know. So, knowledge, discernment and wisdom. We see these work together in Scripture, and I'm gonna gloss over what I was kind of excited about getting into, but what you can get into by grabbing one of the homework sheets. We call it homework. That's scarier than it actually is. Small group homework. It's always available online. There's an account in the book of Daniel where we see that Daniel is exiled along with hundreds of other people from Jerusalem, the ones who weren't killed, who weren't left behind, taken into exile in Babylon, put into servitude, and he's raised as one of the wise men of Babylon. And then the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream, and it's very disturbing to him. And he wants his wise men to interpret the dream, but in order to test his wise men, he says, first, tell me what my dream was. Then interpret the dream. And the wise men were like, no, that's not really how it works. And he said, if you are truly wise, if your gods have any real power, you'll be able to tell me my dream and interpret it. And if not, you're worthless, and I will kill you and your family. Well, they couldn't. They didn't have that power. So King Nebuchadnezzar systematically started killing these wise men and their families. And Daniel heard what was going on, and he came to his friends who were followers of the God of heaven, and he said, we have got to pray about this. Let's pray that God would give us some knowledge about this. And he does. God gives Daniel the knowledge about what the king's dream was. So he gives him the knowledge. Is God still capable of doing that today? I don't rule it out. Why would I rule out God having the power to do anything? We read in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 7, the Apostle Paul, this is 600 years after the account of Daniel. So this is after the ministry of Jesus Christ. This is when disciples have made disciples, and they're planting a church in this city, Corinth. And Paul's giving them instructions, and he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, the gift of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another and to someone else. The one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. Those are all gifts that we've talked about in this series. And if you want to catch up on that, you can find it at newdaywi.com. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And after studying these out, here's the conclusion I've come to. Boiling it down, the gift of knowledge is the supernatural ability to receive information. The gift of interpretation answers the question, where does this information come from? The gift of wisdom answers the question, where will this information lead? Daniel showed us that knowledge comes with prayer. So we've talked about knowledge a little bit. It's praying and receiving some thought, some idea that seems to come from outside of your own smart thinking. Knowledge comes with prayer. Discernment and wisdom come with practice. Now, every Christian needs a level of discernment, a certain amount of discernment. The writer of Hebrews says that discernment comes with practice as we mature and continue to obey Christ. Mature people will be able to discern what's from God and what isn't. Paul wrote to the church in Rome That as we stop copying the customs and the behaviors of the world around us and let God transform the way we think, we learn to discern His will. It comes with practice. People with the gift of discernment just need less practice. They have a supernatural ability. My wife, who I mentioned earlier today, she has the gift of discernment, which to her is a feeling of trust and of peace when something is from God, and a guarded or even like a disgusted feeling when something isn't from God. Now, at the same time, you might go, well, then how come you didn't tell her you were invited to Nigeria right away? Well, at the same time, I tend to be a bit more pioneering, and she tends to be a bit more settling. God needs pioneers, and He needs settlers, people who help things be healthy where they are, and people who branch out and take risks. And I've learned over the years that I need to not overwhelm my wife with crazy ideas about what's out there, and I need to be strategic about how I present those ideas. This was the first time I've presented it this way on a Sunday morning. It takes practice, discernment, and wisdom. So, she needs time to pray and to process, and then if she discerns that we've received direction from God, she is tenacious about sticking with that direction, that call. See, I don't want to give you the idea that because my wife tends to be a settler that she doesn't take risks and exercise faith. She absolutely does, and it's amazing when she does, because when I start to question, when I start to be concerned, she keeps moving forward. Wisdom. Where will all this information lead? If we take a sample from the Old Testament, you can see a couple important themes that help us understand wisdom. Job chapter 28, verse 28. This is what he says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. The fear of the Lord, that's one piece we'll talk about in a moment. Forsake evil, to repent, to turn your life around, to no longer live as if God is here to serve you and you're following your appetites, but instead to question every appetite and say, is this honoring to God? If I follow this, am I honoring Him? And to turn away from anything that isn't. Psalm 111, verse 10, fear of the Lord, there it is again, is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey His commands will grow in wisdom. Praise Him forever. So wisdom is about obedience. Again, it just builds on itself. There is a repentance, a turning from evil, and then an obedience to God. And then Proverbs 15:33, fear of the Lord, again, there it is, teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. So we've got to be humble. We've got to humbly admit we don't have all the answers. He does. We've got to turn from evil, turn from our selfishness. We've got to follow Him. We've got to walk in His ways, and we will learn wisdom. Wisdom does not happen apart from obedience. So what does this mean, fear of the Lord? Isn't God like loving and huggy? God is also true. He is also holy. He cannot tolerate sin. Oh, He forgives us of sin. The price was high, though. The price was the cross. He does not take our sin lightly. Fear of the Lord, what could that mean? I want to share an illustration that Jesus used. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. He says, anyone who listens to my teaching, all right, so who gets knowledge from my teaching, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. He's talking about your life. What is your life built on? And he says, but anyone who hears my teaching, okay, so here's the challenge. A lot of us have knowledge about what God says. A lot of us hear. And he says, there are some who hear, and then they do. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Listening results in knowledge. Wisdom results in obedience. Wisdom respects and even fears going against the will of God. There is a fear of God that is healthy, that is wise. I mentioned Kurt is here. I don't know if you guys, if you get the weekly email newsletter, and if you don't and you'd like to, you can just check that box on your communication card. I shared that after Kurt Olson's trip to Nigeria, he wrote all about it. And it's amazing to see and hear about God at work. I'm going to ask you guys to come up, and I'm going to tell a little bit about your story as you come up. So both Kurt and Carrie are going to come on up. Kurt had this trip to Nigeria lined up, but he had a number of storms, as Jesus said, in his life. There were things kind of beating against you guys in your lives and in your household. But Carrie, you kept getting this thought, and actually, if you got the... Carrie, you kept getting this thought. What was the thought that you kept getting? As Kurt has this trip to Nigeria planned, but he doesn't have the finances raised, and he's been laid up. Because, after 40, stuff just starts breaking down.
Yeah. More and more.
So what was his thought?
I kept thinking, we need to call Aaron. And then I would get busy, and I'm just really forgetful. I have to make it clear that I wasn't pushing it out of my mind. I would just literally forget. So then I had the thought again. But as Aaron said, we had a flood back in June. And so...
A literal flood.
A literal flood in our home. And so we had flooring to replace indoors, but then we had landscaping to do outdoors so that the flood wouldn't happen again. So... Kurt would be, working inside, and then he'd be working outside, and so I'd have the thought, but he'd be outside, so I'd forget to tell him. And the Lord kept impressing it on me, and then probably like the third time, it was stronger, and it was like, Kurt needs to call Aaron, they're going to send him to Nigeria. So that got my attention. I was like, okay. And because I would say to him also, what are we doing about Nigeria? And he's like, I don't know, I'm praying. And they had flyers made already with his picture on it. And I'm feeling a little bit like, they made flyers. Like, they're thinking you're coming. So that's kind of, and so then I shared it with him, and he just sat there, and he's like, well, what would I say to Aaron? And I said, just be honest. Tell him that your wife feels like you're supposed to call. And then.
Somebody tells me their wife feels something, I take it seriously. I do.
Yes. And so I said, tell him we've never done this before. Just be honest. I'm like, just share from the heart, And so he was like, okay. And he didn't just jump on board, which I think is okay. I think that's wise. You know what I mean? He's, head of the house, and he needs to pray through it too. Like, is my wife crazy or not? But so he took about a day or so, I think. And then I was gone to Bible study, and then I got a message, and he said, be praying. I have a call set up with Aaron around 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, okay. And then you know the rest.
Yeah, and we've shared that story, so we don't want to go through all of it again. But essentially, I had felt led to scrap the message that I had planned and was working on a different message that fit perfectly what God was calling you to. You came here. You asked for... You asked for anybody you'd like to support financially. Now, by the way, in your blog, you said that my response on the phone was, this smells like God. Did I literally say that?
Exactly those words.
This smells like God. Yep. There's a small group in here that, after reading that blog, decided they want to put that on a T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're
thinking about that.
That's great.
So, and you said in your blog that the money was raised to the dollar.
That's correct.
Which is nutty. Mm-hmm. So, but literally, yes. So, yeah, I'm just going to summarize because we got to get to the next thing.
Do it.
Because we got to get to what's next. Yeah. So yeah, money was contributed here, cash, money, and he went home and he counted what was here, and it was $101 short. But there was somebody in here who said they were going to give online. They gave $100 online. He got that information and was sharing this amazing story with a couple of guys in Plainfield near where you guys live. And the guy pulled out his wallet and gave the $1 that
yep.
made it exactly what was exactly what was needed. And that's
about 24 hours after standing here. Yeah.
That's amazing. So you see stuff like that and you go, well, this might be coincidence. But I don't think so. I think God is at work. Okay, so Nigeria. You said it was the most divinely orchestrated trip that you've been on. Just 2 minutes.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Well, first I want to tell you that there's something called disciple-making movements multiplying all around the world. There's a book called The Kingdom Unleashed that talks about that. Tens of millions of disciples multiplying around the world. So this is something that's what our ministry is about, is trying to launch these movements to train leaders so they know how to make disciples that know how to multiply. I had been to Nigeria a year and a half earlier, trained about 400 people. So now, thanks to you, I was able to go back. When I went back, 9 people stood up and testified that they, just those 9 of the 400, had multiplied to over 200 disciples, and they'd seen all kinds of miracles. They were telling the stories of the healings and the different things that God had done through their ministry. And that's what took place, in the time before I got there. Then when I got there, it was just, I told Aaron, I just had to take my hands off the wheel and say, okay, God, I can see that you're driving. I'm just going to ride along to wherever you want me to go. God miraculously connected me with the government official in charge of religious affairs for the entire state that we were in, which is the most Christian state in all of Nigeria. And that guy said, oh my gosh, this message has changed my life. His dad is 92 years old and a church planter and a missionary Bible school guy. And he said, my dad's been telling me that I should get out of the church and go make disciples. In other words, don't just come sit on Sunday morning, but get out in the world and, multiply citizens of the kingdom. And he was disgruntled with his dad, but when he heard, this teaching, he said, he said, this has changed my life. And, I thought, what I said changed this man's life. Well, he was so moved that he invited me to one of the Bible schools and out in the bush. And so we went to the Bible school. And they gave me an hour and a half to share. And I just told stories of what God's doing. Changed the Bible school. He said these kids went online and they Googled what is a disciple-making movement and how do I start one. And now the Bible school has changed. This government official said, I almost had to change my phone number because the Bible school students all have my number and they won't stop calling me. And then he said, oh, and there just so happens to be 500 Pentecostal pastors meeting tomorrow. Will you come talk to them? So I prepared a message to go talk to them, but we got a flat tire coming back from the jungle, so I couldn't get there on time. So I end up speaking for 3 minutes. I know I'm already over my 2 minutes. I end up speaking for 3 minutes at the end of the meeting. I was supposed to speak at the beginning of the meeting, but we had a flat tire. But because of that, the most probably well-known Christian person in the whole country was sitting in the front row listening to my 3 minutes. And he said, I need to have this whole training for my conference, which is the one where 5,000 to 10,000 pastors come. It's the biggest pastors conference in the country. And it was just one thing after another. Somebody shows up in my hotel room and, oh, let's go meet this bishop. And then the bishop says, you're an answer to a prayer I was just praying. Come talk to 300 pastors. It was just out of control. And I'm still, my mind is just reeling. But the last thing I want to say is that the church in Nigeria has, for about 100 years, they've been receiving prophecies that they will be used by God, that there will be a revival, what do you call it, a reformation in the church, and then the Church of Nigeria will be used by God to reach Africa, and Africa will be instrumental in finishing the Great Commission in the last days. And they believe that, so when they hear this teaching about the powerful simplicity of the early church, which is what we're all about, it really resonated with their hearts and felt like it was speaking right to those prophecies. So thank you again for your generosity, because without you, none of that would have been possible.
Is it awesome that God gives us the privilege to be a part of what he's doing? Praise God. Thank God. Yeah. So knowledge, you know, you got some knowledge from God that you had to work through some discernment, and then wisdom is taking that knowledge and turning it into obedience to God. And when you start doing that, the ride is amazing. If you resist doing that, the calamity is certain. Which we don't talk about a whole lot, but Jesus says storms will come. They will come. Some of you are in the midst of a storm today. How's your house? How's it holding up? What's your foundation? Thank you, guys. Let's pray for this whole situation together.
And whether or not Aaron should come to Nigeria. By the way, sorry about that, Michelle. He said that to me years ago. Oh, maybe I should come with you one of these times. And so I was like, oh, maybe this is the time. So
I did say that years ago, and you remembered.
Yes.
It's
and
great.
I know how you feel, Michelle, so just so you know.
Oh, God, it is an amazing privilege that you would take weak people, weak vessels, and have your power displayed in and through us, that the church, the gathered disciples of Jesus, that's your plan A, just seems, it seems foolish, but it is in foolishness that you display your power, that you display your wisdom. I pray, God, that we would have the faith to yield ourselves to you, that our taking a moment to remember your plan, to remember your Son, to remember the forgiveness and redemption through him and the new life that's offered. I pray that it would be honoring to you that we would do this, and that we would turn it from something we know into something that directs our lives. I pray for the people in Nigeria that indeed they would be equipped to reach all of Africa with the good news of Jesus Christ, and that Africa would rise up as a mission-sending nation. That every tribe, every tongue, every nation would hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray it for your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen.